Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to continue our study through the book of Galatians. Been a couple of weeks since we were last here. The first part of this chapter deals with the council at Jerusalem. All of the elders of the church at Jerusalem, Paul the Apostle, Barnabas, Peter, all of those men met together to decide on matters of faith as far as salvation goes. And their conclusion was that nothing could be added to salvation. There were some false teachers that had crept in unawares, and they were trying to say that you had to be a physical Jew in order to, or become a physical Jew in order to be saved. And we looked at that last week, or no, 2 weeks ago, and their conclusion was that there's nothing that you can add to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we looked at the unity that they had there together. This is going to be a little bit different than that message. As a matter of fact, it's going to be a little bit opposite than that message. There's going to be a dispute here between two apostles. You don't find that too often in the scriptures, but there's going to be a dispute between Peter and Paul. And Paul is going to publicly rebuke Peter for his hypocrisy. And the title of the message this morning is Living According to the Truth. Living according to the truth. Are we living according to the truth of the gospel, the truth that we claim to believe? Is that a reality in our lives, or is it just a message that we speak with our lips? Does our lives reflect the gospel that we believe? That's going to be the question that we want to answer here this morning. I'll give you three things that should be a reality in our lives if we're going to live according to that truth. But before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your blessings toward us. We thank you for your grace and mercy towards us, Father. We thank you for your glorious gospel that we believe. Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, that our lives would be in line with the gospel, that we would live according to it. Father, I pray that you'd open up our eyes and help us to see where we are deficient, places that we can improve and improve our testimony of you and exalt you and magnify you in our lives. Father, I pray that you'd help me to speak what needs to be said and give me the strength to preach. I pray that you give us all open ears and open hearts to receive your word and that you'd deal with hearts here this morning. We'll thank you for it. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. They were in Jerusalem at the first part of this chapter, the first 10 verses, and they came to the conclusion there, as I said, that there was nothing that you could add to the gospel, and Peter was going to go to the Jews, to those of the circumcision, and preach the gospel, and Paul was going to go to the Gentiles. And that was the conclusion that they came to. Now, we're moving from Jerusalem to Antioch. That's going to be the setting of this portion of Scripture that we're going to read here. We're going to read verses 11 to 21, which will be the end of the chapter. Paul is writing, and he says, verse number 11, he says, "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For that before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. You know, it's a shocking thing to read this portion of Scripture in light of the first half of this chapter right here. And I was sitting there scratching my head this morning as I was kind of going over it again, and I was thinking, Peter, how can you be saying the things and doing the things that you're doing in light of the fact that you just proclaimed at the Council of Jerusalem before all of the people there that there's nothing that you could add to the gospel of Christ? Peter, you're being such a hypocrite here by the things that you're doing. You're not living according to the gospel that you say that you believe. You're acting like such a hypocrite. And I was thinking about ourselves, and sometimes we can do the same thing. Sometimes we can live our lives, and it's not consistent with the gospel that we say that we believe. I was thinking about people who are great hypocrites in history, and I read about this man named Alfred Nobel. And Alfred Nobel was, you associate him with the Nobel Peace Prize. You've all heard of that before. And he's a famous man. Or at least the prize is anyway. Most people are not going to know about Alfred Nobel's most famous discovery. His most famous discovery was that he invented dynamite. He invented dynamite. And he invented dynamite before he came up with these peace prizes that he wanted to give out or he wanted to be known for. The reason that he came up with these peace prizes was because he wanted to deflect the shadow that was cast upon him by inventing dynamite. He wanted to abolish all war, and he thought this was his way of thinking. He was thinking, you know, if I can invent a substance that is so powerful that if two armies get a hold of it and they see it and they see what could actually happen with this dynamite, that they'll be so afraid of using it that they won't even go to war. But Alfred Nobel, I guess he didn't really consider the hearts of men, because most men don't really care. If they want to take over a country, and they have a substance where they can blow up the entire country and take over that country, they're going to do it, because men are just that way. But then he wanted to deflect that image. He didn't want people to remember him for having invented dynamite, so he came up with a Nobel Peace Prize, and so, you know, he didn't want to be known for that. Albert Einstein, he was the 1921 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize, and he said of Alfred Nobel, he said, Nobel invented an explosive more powerful than any known and exceedingly effective means of destruction, but to atone for this accomplishment and to relieve his conscience, he instituted his award for the promotion of peace. And Albert Einstein said that after America had dropped two atomic bombs on Hiroshima over there in Japan. Boy, everyone thinks of Alfred Nobel, and boy, you could say that he is one of the biggest hypocrites in history. I know that he was remorseful for having invented dynamite, and he didn't like that, but yet he's known for peace, but yet he invented such a destructive device to where we can destroy ourselves. Here in this chapter, Peter failed to live up to the gospel that he believed. He was living in hypocrisy. The text calls it dissimulation. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. And he had an influence on everyone that was around him. Everyone, Barnabas even was carried away with the hypocrisy and dissimulation that we find here in this chapter. Peter does the unthinkable. As I said before, how in the world could Peter be doing this? Peter knows. Here we have Peter, he's eating with Gentiles. And he's having fellowship with. Now, either the eating he's talking about there is the Lord's Supper, or he's just having fellowship with these Gentiles here at Antioch. But then James shows up. And James has a lot of Jewish buddies with him. And they must have some prominence or significance or something like that. And James shows up from Jerusalem with all his Jewish buddies, and Peter sees this. He says, "Oh my goodness, what are they going to think of me if they see me eating with these Gentiles?" Because Jews and Gentiles didn't much like each other. That is a time in history right there where they just didn't get together. The time when the church was being formed and Jews and Gentiles still had opposition. So Peter says, "Man, I can't be around these Gentiles." He leaves. He doesn't go around them. And his hypocrisy is exposed. Peter knew better than that. I mean, in Acts chapter number 10, God gave him a revelation that God had separated and called out the Gentiles for salvation. He knew all about that. He was there when the Gentiles got saved. He saw them speak in tongues. He did all of that. He knew all about this. So it's hard for me to believe that Peter would do this, but Peter, it seems like that he was more concerned about his racial identity and being in cahoots with these Jews than he was about the testimony of the gospel, about the gospel going forward. His heart had been carried away. He became a hypocrite, but thank goodness Paul was there and he intervened. And he said, hey, Peter, you are not living according to the truth of the gospel. Paul took a stand there, and he said something to Peter, and he said something to Peter in front of everyone. Paul didn't mind being singled out, much unlike Peter there, but it got me to thinking, are you and I concerned about living according to the truth of the gospel? Do you care about your testimony? Is it in line with your Christianity and in line with my Christianity? Peter, in this instance, he was afraid of men for one thing, but he's also self-deceived. He wanted to be something that he wasn't. He was a Christian, and he let things get the better of him in this instance. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 3, same book, Paul the Apostle says, "For if a man thinketh himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." And that was Peter. He did this. He wanted to be a big shot among the Jews there with Jerusalem. And he deceived himself. Sometimes you and I need to be made aware of our hypocrisy and the actions of our lives. Isn't it good to get someone else's opinion of your actions sometimes? A lot of times we like to look at our lives and look at ourselves through rose-colored glasses and think, you know, we're not that bad. We're pretty good. You know, we're doing the right thing, but it's better to get someone else's opinion and say, hey, you know, you need to shape up right there and fix that because you're really doing wrong there. You're really ruining a Christian testimony. You need to get that fixed up. We all need correction. If you refuse correction, if you stonewall correction, you're not going to grow. You will not grow. I guarantee it. Period. You can't grow. Thank God that Peter listened to the admonition from Paul. He didn't fight back against Paul. And he said, yeah, you're right. You're right. We thank God for Paul and for his stand that he made there. I want to look at three actions that must ring true in our lives if we are going to reflect the gospel in our lives. The first thing is we must avoid hypocrisy. And hey, that's a no-brainer. Nobody ought to be a hypocrite. Avoidance of hypocrisy. Number two, affirmation of the truth. And number three, we must identify with our Savior. Because let's face it, Peter was more concerned about identifying with his racial group there and his Jews there instead of identifying with Jesus Christ. If we're going to reflect the gospel that we believe, we must avoid hypocrisy. And that was Peter's problem here. Peter was eating with Gentiles, and like I said, I don't know if it's the Lord's Supper or he was just eating there. I guess what I can ascertain from the text here is that he's trying to teach these Gentiles here that You can't be eating pork and bacon. You have to adhere to these Jewish standards that are found in the Old Testament. You have to live by these Jewish customs and laws as far as diet is concerned. He's telling them this, from what I can see. He's also, I'm supposing that he's also telling them that you have to become a Jew. You have to be circumcised. You have to do all of this. Now, like I said, that's hard for me to believe in light of the first half of this chapter. But Peter knows better than this. Peter knows that there's nothing at all that you can add to salvation. And by him removing himself from their company, he's showing his hypocrisy and he's teaching the Gentiles that they must become a Jew and be circumcised. And then here comes James, of course, with the Jews. And there he is. He's being, I tell you what, hypocritical all the way around. Oh, he's really, really doing a bad thing here. And Peter is living like a Gentile. The text here tells us in verse number 14, I believe, Paul says, "If thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews," Paul tells Peter, "You're not living like a Jew. You're not living according to the customs of the Jewish race and the Jewish religion. You're not doing that. Why are you compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Why are you doing that? Paul, you're acting like a Gentile. You're acting like a hypocrite." But then he was compelling the Gentiles to live as do the Jews, and then he abandoned his Gentile friends whenever the Jews showed up. And Paul confronted him on his hypocrisy. He says in verse number 15 and 16, he says, "We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, you know this. You know that a man is not justified by the works of the law. As an ethnic Jew, you know that, and you ought to know that better than anyone, Peter. What are you doing? Why are you trying to put them back into the law? Why are you putting a burden upon these Gentiles right here? You know better than that. Why are you doing that? You're being a hypocrite, Peter. Don't do that. You're not living in line with what you believed. You cannot be a hypocrite, Peter. If you and I are going to live according to the truth of the gospel, we have to put away hypocrisy. We have to live according to that truth that we find in the gospel. We must live consistently according to that truth. I don't know if I told you this before, but I heard a story been a while back, but a man had a severe accident, a car accident, and they took him to the hospital. And they had to take off his shirt, and they put him there on the operating table. They're going to operate on him. And they took off his shirt, and they looked on his chest, and they found a big tattoo across his chest that said Jesus on the front of it. And there was the irony, huh? Quite ironic. They see this tattoo there, and the nurse that was going to work on him looked at his chest, and she said, "I wonder if it goes deeper than the skin." She thought, "I wonder if his Christianity is just a tattoo on his chest, or if it actually goes all the way down deep into his heart, and it actually affects his actions and his life. I wonder if that's the truth. Is it true here for you here this morning? Does your Christianity, is it only skin deep? Is it just a Facebook post? Is it just a bracelet that you wear on your wrist? Is it just a necklace that you wear around your neck? Is it just the Bible that you carry under your arm so people will think that you're religious? Or is it just the right kind of clothing that you wear? Is it just your short haircut? Does it go deeper than all of those things? Because if it doesn't go deeper than all of those things, if it's just artificial, if it's just skin deep, God help us. We have the wrong view of Christianity. We have the wrong view all the way around. And Peter here was being a hypocrite before all of the people that saw him there. God help us. If our Christianity and the gospel that we believe doesn't affect the way that we treat others, if it doesn't drive us to holiness, if it doesn't drive us to righteousness, then we have the wrong view of the gospel that we preach and that we say that we believe. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But it starts in your heart, and it comes out of your mouth. It goes down to the heart. Peter's problem was something else. Peter's problem was that something else had his heart. A view of these Jews had his heart. He was afraid of what someone might think about him. He was afraid of what somebody might, how someone might look at him. He was afraid of losing a friendship, afraid of losing a relationship. He was afraid of all of these things. And he said, man, I tell you what, I better separate. I better get back. You know, I hate to get ahead of myself, but he did that once again before. You remember the night that Jesus was crucified? Jesus Christ told Peter, he said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And Peter said, hey, not me, not me. I won't do that. And then we find him outside of the council, outside of where they're trying Jesus Christ, and he's warming himself by the fire, and he's saying, hey, I don't know who Jesus is. Seems like there's a kind of a pattern there with Peter. Many religious leaders in Jesus Christ's day, well, they believed on Jesus Christ, but they wouldn't confess him. Why? Because they were afraid they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue. They didn't want to lose their position. They didn't want to lose their friends. They would not confess Jesus Christ publicly. Find that in John chapter number 12. The end of the verses in verse number 43 says, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so they would not confess Jesus Christ. They were afraid. Boy, fear or will drive you to do a lot of things. Now, were these men saved? I don't know. They confessed Jesus Christ privately, but they would not do it publicly. We find in Matthew chapter number 10, Jesus Christ said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Those are some strong words from Jesus Christ. We thank God that Peter was allowed to repent of his denial of Jesus Christ, his hypocrisy. And God does allow for repentance if we do go away from him and we all do live like hypocrites. But let us not live hypocritically because of the fear of man. Bible says that God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but the power and of love and of a sound mind. We get that spirit of fear upon us. It's not because of God. And when Paul wrote those words to Timothy, he was a preacher and he was trying to encourage him. Hey, keep on preaching the truth. Keep on going forward. Don't get scared when times get tough. Don't be afraid of what men might think. Hey, keep on going forward. God didn't give us that spirit of fear. The Bible says the fear of man brings a snare. Don't live hypocritically. If we are going to live according to the truth of the gospel, we must avoid hypocrisy at all costs. Secondly, we must affirm the truth if we are going to live according to that truth. Now we see Paul here, and he publicly affirms the truth of the gospel to everyone in the room. Paul took a stand there that day. And he says, hey, yes, salvation is only by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone and nothing else. He rebuked Peter and says, hey, Peter, you ought to know better. It is only by him. And so Paul affirmed the gospel of Jesus Christ to all that were there. If you and I are going to live according to the truth of the gospel, we must affirm that gospel. We must affirm it. We can't keep our mouths shut. We can't go and hide in a corner somewhere or hide under our bed when times get tough. When people don't like what we have to say, they don't like the gospel, they don't like Christianity, they don't like Jesus Christ, we still have to affirm it. We still have to say something. Now, it's real easy whenever Christianity is popular. It's real easy during those times, but hey, it gets kind of hard sometimes, doesn't it? Whenever people don't like what you have to say, they're an atheist or they're an agnostic or they're something else and they don't like what you have to say. We must affirm it to everyone. How do we affirm it? By speaking it, by preaching it to others, by telling other people, just as Paul did. Paul opened up his mouth. He said, hey, it is only by Jesus Christ and him alone. It is nothing else. It has nothing to do with becoming a Jew. It has nothing to do with becoming circumcised. It has nothing to do with your diet. It is only by Jesus Christ. Paul was not afraid to affirm the gospel. If we are going to live according to that truth, we must affirm it. Not only that, we must do it with our lives. We must do it with our actions. We must affirm that gospel with our actions, exactly as Peter should have been. Whenever those Jews showed up in Peter's presence with the Gentiles, he should have explained to those Jews exactly what the gospel was and that salvation is for all people, not only for Jews, but for Gentiles as well. And he would affirm that gospel with his actions. He should have shown some love to those people. He should have shown some grace to those people because he believed in that gospel. He should have affirmed it. Peter knew this, as I said. Before Jesus Christ left and went up to heaven and ascended up to heaven, Jesus Christ told his disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yes, start in Jerusalem, go to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. But the gospel is for everyone. We have to affirm the truth with our lives, with our actions, the words that we speak and the actions that we have. We can see this parallel principle played out in the marriage mouth of however I said that, the vows of marriage. Whenever you got married, you stood before a preacher or a justice of the peace or something like that. You had witnesses, you had a crowd of people there, and they saw you get married. You stood before your wife and you stood before your husband, and you pledged your loyalty and your love to each other. You're telling everyone there that saw the preacher, God, and all of the people in the room, hey, I love this woman. I love this man. And I'm pledging my loyalty and my love to this person. But did you know what didn't stop there? Every day that you stay with your wife or your husband, you're telling the whole world, I affirm my love and my loyalty to that person forever. Every day. You speak it with your words. You say, I love my husband, I love my wife. And every day that you go home to them and you stay together, you're telling everyone, you're affirming it to everyone publicly. Everyone knows. Same way with Christianity. You do that. It's not just a one-time thing where you say, hey, I am a Christian, I get baptized and that's it, and then I go on my merry way. No, you affirm that for the rest of your life. Hey, Jesus Christ is my Savior. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He's mine and I'm His. I'm not ashamed of Him at all. I affirm that to everyone. God's not ashamed of us. Picked us out and chose us out to be ambassadors for Him, to go out and preach the gospel to Him. It says in one place in Hebrews, it says that He is not ashamed to call us brethren. We ought not to be ashamed of Him. Amen. Affirm that gospel and affirm Him in every way. And you might have to stand out. You might have to take a stand. You might have to stick out like a sore thumb. Paul says, hey, I'm going to stand right here and tell everyone here about my Savior Jesus Christ. Might have to stand out. Hey, Peter's, what he wanted to do, boy, he wanted to blend in, didn't he? He didn't want to have to stand out for Jesus Christ. Thank God that he was able to repent and turn from that. God is not afraid and ashamed of us. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Why are we saved? Why? So that we can tell everyone and praise God through Jesus Christ and not be ashamed. Affirm that truth to everyone. If you and I are going to stand for the truth of the gospel and live according to that truth, you and I must affirm that truth to everyone. Not only in word, but also in deed. Living according to the truth means to affirm it. The final way in which we reflect the gospel in our lives is that we must identify with our Savior. What was Peter's problem? Boy, he was looking for identity somewhere, but it wasn't through Jesus Christ. He was looking for his identity with the Jewish people that came there. Well, he's in the wrong place. For a Christian, we find our identity in Jesus Christ and in him alone. We don't search outside somewhere else. We don't invent the best version of ourselves, and there we find our identity. You will be lost if you do that. You find your identity in Jesus Christ and in him alone. Paul the Apostle says in verse number 20, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I don't care about these other Jews. I don't care about all that stuff. It's Jesus Christ and in him alone. That's where I find my identity. So what about what they think? So what if they disagree? Jesus Christ, we must find our identity in the truth incarnate, in him, and in him alone. Paul identifies with Jesus Christ in his death. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He says, hey, the old Paul is gone. The new Paul is here, and it's through Jesus Christ that I live my life. It is through him. It's not about being a Jew or a Pharisee. It's not about that. It's about Jesus Christ. We must find our lives in Jesus Christ. It is only through Jesus Christ that we can live this life. It is through the power of Christ that we live the Christian life. It is not in our own strength, but it is in Jesus Christ and no one else. It was not by Paul's power, but it was through Christ. Paul says, hey, there is a new man living on the inside of me, and that's how we get my power. That's how we get my life. That's how I live this life. It is through Jesus Christ. Paul shunned everything else for Jesus Christ. Look in the book of Philippians. All of the accomplishments and accolades and everything that Paul had. Everything. He says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Best education you could get of the day. Boy, I had prestige, honor, power, all of that. He says, I count it all but dung that I may win Christ. Everything through Jesus Christ. Are you identifying with your Savior here this evening or this morning? Where do you find your identity and value? Is it because, well, I'm an American. That's where I find my value. And my power, that's where I get it from. There's nothing wrong with being an American, but is that where you find your identity? Is it through something else? Is it through your race? Is it through any of those things, or is it through Christ? In relationship to your salvation, is your identity found in Christ? Just because you're an American doesn't mean you're saved. Just because you're a certain race doesn't mean you're saved. It doesn't come through that. It only comes through Jesus Christ and in him alone. Jesus Christ was the righteousness that Paul clung to. It wasn't the fact that he was a good person. You couldn't have found anybody better than Paul. It wasn't because he was a good person. You better cling to Jesus Christ. It's not because Paul was wise. It's not because of your own wisdom. It is Jesus Christ is our wisdom. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Jesus Christ is our life. That's where we get it from. He said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Can I tell you something here this morning? The old you has passed away if you're saved, and the new you is here through Jesus Christ. It is through him and him alone. Leper, well, that's a horrible disease. He may be able to cover up all of his spots that he has on his body by putting on a clean garment, but that doesn't mean the leprosy's gone away. You know what? You can cover up sin by moral reform and trying to be a good person and trying to fix yourself up, but that's not going to get rid of the sin. Sin goes all the way to the heart. It goes all the way deep to the heart. You have to have Jesus Christ to cleanse that sin. We are forgiven in Christ. We're accepted in Christ. If we are going to live according to the truth of the gospel, it must be identity found in Christ. very quickly, I want to give you three takeaways from this message. The first thing is that hypocrisy is a great danger. Everyone is susceptible to hypocrisy. I don't care who you are or who I am. Everyone is susceptible to hypocrisy. You talk about Peter the apostle? Yeah, he was a hypocrite at times. He didn't live consistently at times. And that's a great danger. We come to church to examine ourselves, and it shouldn't only be at church. Other places as well, we should examine ourselves because we should not want to live as hypocrites. The Bible gives us ample warnings to live consistently according to our Christianity. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 20 says, "If any man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen?" He gave you a warning right there. And he says, do you hate your brother? How can you love God whom you haven't seen and hate your brother whom you have seen? That's a warning to Christians. Examine yourself. Look at yourself. There's many more that we could bring up. But can I tell you here this morning that those are not idle admonitions to the people of God. They're warnings. Don't live your life without examining yourself and looking at yourself. That's what we're here for. The Word of God is a mirror, and it shows us ourselves within the Scriptures. Number two, your actions have great influence on other people. Peter was living in hypocrisy, and everyone else there saw it, and Barnabas was carried away with that hypocrisy as well, and so was a lot of other people there. Your actions influence other people. If you and I do not live according to the truth of the gospel, other people see it. Moms and dads, your children see how you live. And if it's not real, they're going to notice. Your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, yes, they see how you live. And you can have an influence on everyone around you. We must live according to the truth of the gospel because of the influence that we have upon other people. Don't think your actions aren't noticed by other people, myself as well. We all have an influence on one another. Let us live according to the truth of the gospel. Number three, the cure for hypocrisy is to look to the cross of Jesus Christ. That's the cure. You know why? Because the cross condemns everyone and says, hey, none of us are more shiny than the other one. We're all sinners before God. Let us fall before the cross of Christ. We cannot justify ourselves. It condemns all. It took the death of Jesus Christ to redeem us from sin. The cross humbles every person who looks to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen by moral reform at all. It will not happen. Let us look to the cross of Jesus Christ. We need a Savior. We need a Savior. And so let us look to Him. Let us live according to the truth that is found in the gospel which we believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,